Dear friends in Jesus Christ, this is part 5 of a 6-part series on the 12 days of Christmas. Some of you have been with us and heard every part of the series up to today, so you know what's going on. But for others, though, let me give you just a little bit of information. If you want more, take a look back at especially part 1 and part 2 of the series. Which 12 days are we talking about here with the 12 days of Christmas? We're beginning on December 25 and going through January 5. Why the song? Well, you have to know what was going on back in the 16th century. There was very severe persecution if you were found teaching certain parts of the Bible to your children. It was so severe that you could be drawn and quartered if you were caught doing this. So what happened back then? Back at that time, a poem was written back in 1558 in order to disguise these Bible teachings. And then back in 1909, that is when the poem was set to music and turned into the song that you probably have heard today. Who are the people who are singing? If you listen to the song and you think about how it goes, the ones who are singing, those are people who have received the gift of faith by which they are trusting in Jesus for eternal life, and they are singing about their true love. Who is their true love? Their true love is God the Father, and what is He doing? He is gifting them with 12 important Bible gifts. That's what's going on in the song. Well, in our series, we started with gift number 12, and we're working our way down to number 2. So the ones we've done so far, day 12, the 12 points of belief in the Apostles' Creed; day 11, the 11 faithful disciples; day 10, the 10 commandments; day 9, the 9 parts of the fruit of the Spirit; and then day 8, the 8 Beatitudes; day 7, the 7 gifts of the Spirit; day 6, the 6 days of creation; and then day 5, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. We've covered all of those already. If you want all the details on them, you can go to our church website and you can either watch or listen to or read any of those. They're all out there online, real easy to access. Well, today we're focusing on days 4 and 3. Tomorrow is the big finale as we get finally to days number 2 and 1. I hope you come and join us. Well, here we are on day 4 then. So 4 calling birds, we're talking about the 4 gospel accounts. So we never say 4 gospels, but rather 4 gospel accounts. So it's basically the same information, but written down by 4 different men, in a sense, from 4 different perspectives. We're talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If we think about a summary as to what the Gospels are saying, understand that each one of the writers, they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they each wrote about Jesus' life, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus' return. These things are so, so important for every single person. Now, keep in mind that God did what He did in sending His Son. Jesus did what He did. He did it for everyone. No one is left out. But who are all the people who are going to be on the outside looking in when eternity comes? All those people are the ones that refuse to receive the precious gift that God is offering to all people. That is the gift of forgiveness. That is the gift of eternal salvation. God has already paid the entire price through Jesus. The gift is being offered to everyone. God wants everyone to receive it. But in reality, most people in the world are not receiving it. And it's such a sad thing, but it's there for them, though. So anyone who is on the outside for all eternity, is it God's fault? By no means. It's the fault of people with their hearts hardened, with their refusal to get into the Word of God and have their eyes open to the truth and to receive this precious gift. I so much want everyone to receive it, and I bet God, like a million times more than I do, God wants everyone to receive it. So I hope you have it now. I hope you're rejoicing, and if you don't, I hope you think real long and hard about it. It is so important. What could we say here? Well, in regard to Jesus' life, what's important about it is he lived without sin. I know all of you have sin, and I have sin too, and I know that's true because the Bible says all have sinned. So we're all in trouble. So Jesus came and he did what none of us can do. He did it in our place. He lived a life without sin. What about with his death? Well, all of us, because we have sinned, there is an eternal penalty that we have earned. But what did Jesus do in going to the cross for us? He took our punishment. He did nothing wrong. We're the ones who messed up, but he took our punishment. Can you see how great the love of God is? And now what about Jesus' resurrection? He was showing us that he is the winner over sin, over death, over the devil. And then thinking about his return, if you read the Bible carefully, you will see that Jesus could come back at any moment. He might come back before I finish this sermon. He could come back at any moment. There is this great urgency in the scriptures. There's this great urgency with Jesus. He is saying, be on the alert, be always ready, because at any moment I could come. Don't put it off. Don't be like my father was years ago. My father was always kind of around things that had to do with church and the Bible, but he always kind of had the attitude, hey, when I get older, I'll think about it more. What was it that rocked him to the core and God used to change his life? So in our little community where we lived, there was a 16-year-old girl walking home from school right in the afternoon, nice day, everything was fine, and she got plowed over by a drunk driver, and she died on the spot. Now, we didn't personally know her, but boy, did that ever hit my dad. And he's like, oh, I thought I had time. That could have happened to me. And boy, did that ever get his attention and got him serious about the things of God. God doesn't want us to put it off at all. He wants us to know it is so important now and then to continue in Christ. When that happens, what's going to be true? We're going to have all this peace and joy, knowing our sins are forgiven, knowing we are ready for whenever Jesus comes, knowing we are ready for whenever we die. It's a wonderful thing. God wants everyone to have that. Well, thinking about the audience of each writer real quick, so they all had a little different audience. Matthew, he's writing to Jews. Mark, he's writing to Gentiles. Luke, he's writing to Greeks. And John, really, we could say he's writing to everyone. So you shouldn't pick which one you should read. I would encourage you to read all of them. Now, there are a lot of similarities, but there are differences, and John is more different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What is the purpose for all four of the gospel accounts? Now, I have a quote here from the Gospel of John, but really this applies really to all four of them. Notice what John wrote here toward the end of his gospel. These have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, it's not just this idea of what we might call intellectual assent. It's not just saying, okay, in my mind, I agree that Jesus is the Christ. But rather, it's this reality of knowing, oh, I am a sinner. I cannot fix it. I cannot save myself. It doesn't do any good to do good things or to trust in the good things I'm doing. That can't get me in. Jesus, he is the Son of God. He's the one who lived for me. He's the one who died for me. He's the risen Savior. So it's not just a knowledge of that, but rather it's this God-worked faith that takes all confidence away from who we are and what we have done or what we can do. And then it puts all that confidence on Jesus, on who he is, on what he has done. That's something that I can't do it, you can't do it. God has to do that. But God wants us to have an openness to that. God wants us to dig into his word, and the Spirit of God will work through the word of God in order to give us exactly what we need. May God grant all of us that openness. So when we think about the Son of God, he came down from heaven, he put on flesh. Hey, that's what we're celebrating here on Christmas Eve. We're celebrating the birthday of the Christ. But that's not the end, though. So think about Jesus. He's the only one we can say this about in the whole world. He's the only one that was born to die. So all of us, we were born for the purpose of living. He was born for the purpose of dying. So by him dying for us, that opens the path for us to live forever. Can you see how that ties in? How it is so important? What should our response be to him? We should love him. We should trust him. We should honor him. May God work such things in our lives. Let me go to day number three here. So day number three, three French hens, or we could say three great blessings. We're talking about faith, hope, and love, as noted here in the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What is faith? So faith is trusting in Jesus. Now, not just in general, but faith is trusting in Jesus for eternal life. When I think back in my life, I used to trust in Jesus to help me when I was sick, to help me get a job if I needed one, to keep me safe on a journey, but I did not trust in him for eternal life. I thought, well, hey, I'm a decent guy. I think I'll get into heaven based on my decentness, but I need him for other things, though. Boy, that was a foolish time in my life looking back on it. God wants us to know that the most important way to trust in Jesus is for eternal life. But can we trust in him for everything else too? By all means. But most important, though, for eternal life, what is hope? Hope is being certain that every promise that God has made in his word, it will come true. Now, it will come true according to God's timing, not according to our timing. And then what about love? Love is what God has shown toward us by giving his son. Love is what we show toward God by honoring him, by keeping his commandments. And love is what we show toward other people. When we take a look at them, we see their needs, and then we try to help them according to their needs. That's what love is. Here's the Bible passage, 1 Corinthians 13. Now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. So we might ask the question, why is love the greatest? Well, understand it this way. Faith is temporary. Faith is believing something we cannot see. But eventually, though, hey, we're going to see God with our own eyes. We don't need faith at that point. Faith is temporary. What about hope? Oh, hope is temporary. Why is that so? Right now, there are promises that God has made that he has not yet fulfilled. So we have this certainty that they will be fulfilled. We have this hope that they will be fulfilled. But once every promise is fulfilled and that day is coming, hey, no more need for hope. That's a temporary thing. But what about love, though? Love is eternal. God keeps showering his love upon us. Here we are. We are physically healthy. We're wearing clothes. We have food to eat. We have homes to live in. God has sent his son for us. Boy, God just keeps showering his love upon us. And what do? We keep showing love back to God, and we keep trying to show love for each other. That's going to go on forever and ever and ever. Love is eternal. As I come to the end of the sermon here, I want to offer you a copy of my 12 Days of Christmas brochure. hot off the press just about noon today. I actually wrote this about a month ago, and boy, did it need a major revision, but it's all revised now. I think there is so much valuable information in here. So the way it works, if you grab a copy of the brochure, they're available in the back, but you can read a little bit of the history about the 12 days of Christmas. If you look it up online, you can click here and you can play the song right through the brochure if you're online with it. It is available on our church website. But then you're going to have a little section for each of the 12 days. And on each of the 12 days, there is a section where it says application. So tomorrow is the first day of Christmas. So the idea would be that sometime between now and tomorrow, you're going to read through from the beginning of the brochure, you're going to read through day one, then it's going to have a little tiny application thing, something to actually do on that first day of Christmas, and then the next day after that, you're going to read through day two, a little bit of application, and it's all going to tie in with each of the 12 gifts that God is giving to us. So that's my challenge to you. I'm urging you to do it. I'm challenging you to do it. I'm even double dog daring you to do it. Maybe I have to go that far. But anyway, though, I really hope you do it. I think it'll be a blessing. See, so often, have you ever seen this where, okay, we have, you know, we celebrate Christmas on 12/25, and maybe about 12/27, you're driving down a street and you're like, wow, they have their Christmas tree out on the curb already. Like they celebrated on 12/25, now they've taken it down, and they've thrown it away, and now they're on to something else. Well, by reading this brochure here, you're going to find out it was a common thing a long time ago that people were actually celebrating Christmas on all 12 days. This is a little tiny way for us to do that. So again, I encourage you to grab a brochure, give it a try, do it together as a family. I think you'll find it to be a blessing. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, you are the giver of every good gift. Thank you so much for the 12 Bible gifts contained in the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. Even though the world thinks the song is silly and even foolish, bless us to rightly understand the song, share the contents with others, and then actually celebrate each of the 12 days of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.